Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today I have Steve, Sharpie, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
Howdy. We are not having Chris join us tonight. She has a previous engagement, so hopefully she'll be joining us next time. But today we're going to be talking about planes, trains, and automobiles. Are we really going to talk about trains?
Of course
we might mention it.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, transportation. We're going to be talking about that. So, how to get to Disney, how to save, what, you know, is a good way to go, depending on your family structure, things along those lines. So, let's go. Let's start off with, well, I think most people, actually, I couldn't say. Do most people drive or do most people fly?
I fly.
I would venture to guess that most people fly. And that's strictly based on the number of rental cars you see parked in Disney theme park parking lots.
Yeah. There are a few.
And interestingly enough, on that topic, is that's one major consideration if you plan to drive to Walt Disney World, is that you will be in a densely populated area with lots of people who do not know their way around. So it can actually get pretty scary.
Yeah. Everyone's a tourist.
Oh yes. No one knows their way. So when someone is quick to get angry when someone cuts them off, they too will be cutting someone off in just a mile or so.
It's like being in Manhattan.
It's inevitable. It is inevitable.
All right. So, when it comes to flights, you've got pretty much two choices. You've got MCO and you've got Sanford. Most people are going to fly into MCO, which is Orlando International Airport.
Which will get you the free transfers to and from if you're staying on Disney property.
Yep, that'll get you the Disney's Magical Express transfers, which is a great system.
It's
a well-oiled machine.
It's difficult to turn that down. But for a lot of people who live, especially in more rural areas, they don't have access to major airports. So sometimes the low-cost air carriers like Allegiant and Spirit offer very competitive pricing that can be very tempting when booking your flights. So you really have to consider how you're going to get to the park. Is it going to be worth the cost, including transfers from Sanford? Because Sanford is really, while it is sold as an Orlando airport, it is also sold as being close to Daytona Beach. So there are quite a few considerations for getting from Sanford Airport to the Walt Disney World Resort and still coming out ahead in terms of your overall cost of transportation, unless you're going to rent a car. So, I mean, there's a couple different things to look at there. So has anyone ever flown? I have not flown into Sanford.
No.
I have flown into Orlando International, into MCO with both with Spirit out of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And that was actually a pretty good deal. I've read mixed reviews on Spirit Airlines. They really, really sell their credit card very hard on the flights, and I've been told to avoid their credit card kind of like the plague, because there was about a three to six month span last year where there were a lot of people having their identity stolen, and it turned out that there were some flight attendants who were taking their credit card applications and not submitting them. So, you know, little things like that you kind of have to catch up to and deal with.
I fly Spirit because they're close to me. They have a major hub out of Atlantic City. And I hate Spirit. Their customer service is not good. The flight attendants are rude. And that's consistent. I mean, everything, I just can't. The only thing that's good about them is the price.
Yeah. And
that's why I fly them.
There's one other benefit, too, and that is that they have like between 4 to 8 seats on all of their airplanes that are like first class seats. like literally the physical seat itself is a first class seat, but there is no difference in service. But and you can oftentimes upgrade to those like larger, more comfortable seats for like $15 each way.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, see, we've got the very low price before. Just to actually
get a seat is $15. To pre-book your seat is $15. And then if you want to upgrade to one of those seats, it's more. They're like 45 or 50 bucks.
Huh. See, we've out of Latrobe, we've had lower prices than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of AC, they're higher then. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because oftentimes, like, whenever you consider baggage fees, seat selection fees, and all of that stuff, it is about the same as Southwest typically is for us.
And so, Southwest are nice.
Right.
And their seats are normal size.
But there's also parking at your home airport, which that's, if we fly out of Pittsburgh, that's something that we have to consider on our way down, is are we going to get back and have to pay $65 in parking fees versus parking at a smaller airport for free? So, I mean, when you really start to think about all of the costs and expenses that go into flying, you really have to really kind of calculate all of those variables to really get the best deal. And rarely your best deal is going to come in the form of a really low cost air carrier, especially like Allegiant, I think Allegiant has maybe a few flights into MCO if I remember right, but most of theirs are into Orlando Sanford, and that's a 45 minute drive each way, and it's on your own dime, whereas through MCO you have Magical Express door to door service, also including luggage. You really can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, like you're saying, you have to take it all into consideration because they have baggage fees now. Like Lauren's saying, you have to pay to pick your seat on some airlines, and it just adds up really quickly. And then before you know it, you're paying more in some cases than flying a major airline. And then it's super convenient with Magical Express because that's, you know, that saves you a rental car unless you really want to have a rental car. And it's very easy to get the bus, hop right on, get to the resort, be at Disney. And that's for everybody in your family. So you don't have to get a town car or pay a per person transportation fee. It's all included in the price.
And then you also have, when you go home, a lot of the airlines, you can actually check in for your flight and check your bags right at your hotel.
So nice.
And get your boarding pass. I think that Magical Express has turned into, it used to kind of be a little bit of a nightmare years ago, but they have turned that into a well-oiled machine, and I think it runs beautifully. I really do.
Yeah. Because you go to Disneyland and they don't have any of that.
Oh, it's
and
a then nightmare.
You realize how well it's done at Disney World. And yeah, and checking in at the hotel and avoiding the counter of people when I travel that, you're sometimes there for hours while they have just all these people trying to check in for their airline and check their baggage. And, oh, it's awful.
Yeah. Just head right to security and off you go.
Back in February, we rented a car for the first time at the airport, at MCO. And it was a nightmare. The way that their rental car desks are located, and then some cars are located on one side of the terminal, some cars are located on the other side of the terminal, and heaven forbid they actually rent you a car on the wrong side of the terminal. It was a nightmare. And then driving to and from the airport, you have to pay tolls. So, I mean, for a lot of people, especially if you plan to rent a car when you get there, go ahead and take Magical Express to the Walt Disney World Resort and then rent a car once you're on site, because you're not only going to pay avoid the tolls to and from the airport, but you're also going to avoid the concession recovery fees that you get charged at the airport. So, and plus it's a lot more flexible, because if you're not going to need the car for your entire stay, you can just rent it for the period that you want it. So, because I know Disney likes to get people on property and keep people on property.
Yes, they do.
And that makes sense. It makes sense for them as a company.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they make it very convenient. You can rent a car on Disney property. And
Alamo.
Yep. And nice name brand rental company. And they're going to treat you right. Works out well.
So most people who drive are either going to arrive via I-75 and its connector to the Orlando area, or I-95 and then over to I-4. And in terms of traffic, if you've ever driven I-95, you will know quite well that it can be absolutely maddening, especially in the summer, especially during construction periods, especially through the stench of paper mills in some of the southern states. I-95 can be a real pain in the rear end. So on continuing on with driving, for people who are driving in from the north, and we'll hit up with I-95 at some point in time, the question often arises, do you stop and spend the night, or do you just switch drivers, assuming that you have two adults who can drive? Do you stop for the night? Where do you stop for the night? Do you drive as long as you can and then stop for the night, or do you plan a stop for the night? So since you guys are driving from like the suburban Atlanta area, have you guys ever stopped on your way down, or do you always drive straight through?
We usually drive straight through. Sometimes my sister's in Tallahassee, which is not really on the path, but sometimes we'll stop there. But it's like 7 hours. You know, if you hit it without traffic and do it just right, you can do it in 7 hours door to door, which is not too bad. And we'd go down, we take 75 and then we hit the turnpike, and then the last hour is on the turnpike.
Yeah, but what do you think it costs in tolls?
I don't know what the turnpike is, because we got the E-Pass, or the, I think it used to be called the Sun Pass, or maybe it's called both now, at one of the turnpike rest areas many, many years ago. And then it just auto charges up on your credit card. So you can drive through the tolls, which makes it super quick. So if you haven't done that, that's a good thing to do. You can also get them online, or you can get them at convenience stores in Orlando and charge them up. Because when we were going down this last time, there was the to pay at the tolls, the line was ridiculous because it was during season.
You spent a lot of time sitting there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people waiting, especially if you're going on a Disney cruise.
That's a great point.
Oh, you go through so many tolls, and with that pass, you just keep on driving.
I feel like there are 10 toll booths between Orlando and Port Canaveral.
There are so many, and it's the same way, it seems like, from the airport. Not as many, but it's at least 3 or 4. And then sometimes you get to these toll booths that are when you get off on a side road to get gas or something, and they take exact change only, and there's no attendant.
Yep. Yeah, that's a major pain in the rear end.
Yeah, so you got to have a bunch of quarters with you. But yeah, if you get one of those little passes, if you are on the turnpike, we just stopped one year. You walk on in, they sell them right there, and I think they come with you can charge them up right then and there, and stick it on the window, and you're good to go. And then plus when you drive down, it's exciting because you get to pull out the little e-pass thing and stick it on your window, so you're in the Disney mode.
You would find that exciting, wouldn't you, Steve?
I know. I'm like, yay! I get to stick the pass in the window.
Get to use the Sun Pass. Woo! Vacation started.
I know.
Like, I mean, it is kind of a rite of passage. You know,
yeah,
you
it really out. Is. It really is. Do you feel the same, Lisa? Do you get excited about the Sun Pass?
I get excited that we're being smarter than some people. And we can laugh at some of the people that are waiting in those lines that they do this every time they go to Disney, because there are people in those lines that go often and they just never think about getting the pass because they don't live in Florida.
Yeah. And they used to have a huge – we just got a new one. They just sent us a new one a couple of months ago that no longer requires a battery. So – and you can get one that's removable. This is the one that we have that's like two little suction cups on it. So you can move it from car to car, or you get one that you just stick on as a sticker. Huh. So, well, that's nice.
That's definitely something we'll have to consider, because we've never done that before. Because we really don't hit many tolls. Just driving south, we take 79 and then hit 64, 77 down to 95. in South Carolina. And that's, and the question for us is always, do we drive straight through? We've done it before. We have driven straight through, with just a couple, few short, short naps on the way, but it's like a 12 and a half, 13 hour drive for us.
Wow.
So yeah. So it, you really have to commit to staying caffeinated.
That's not easy
to make it in one day. But we've also stopped, we've stopped in Charlotte before. We have stopped in Orangeburg, South Carolina on our trip in November, and we stayed at kind of like a local family owned hotel in Orangeburg. It's just right off the interstate. We got a really great deal, good, nice, clean hotel, nice service. We checked in at like 1:30 a.m. and checked out at, I think it was 8:30 a.m. So we really weren't there that long, but it was a nice stopover. But we've also stopped over at Hilton Head before, and that's kind of our favorite. It's a bit, it's far more than halfway for us to stop over at Hilton Head, but we just love that resort so much. So, and it's about half hour, 45 minutes off the interstate. So then we kind of get up the next morning and head out really early. So just have several hours to drive beyond that point. So
yeah, it's
nice when you break up the 12, 13 hour drives into two, because 6 hours is so doable.
Right. Exactly.
6 hours is nice.
And plus if we can make it to Hilton Head, that gives our second travel day a much shorter venture. So we can check in a little bit earlier and usually we're almost always in a park by that evening. So lots of fun there. And Lisa asked earlier if we're going to discuss trains. Of course we are. And the first train that I want to bring to the table is the auto train. Very exciting. A lot of folks don't know about the auto train. It's a service of Amtrak. It departs daily from Lorton, Virginia, which is just south of D.C., and it pulls in the next morning to Sanford, which it's actually not too far from the airport, so about a 45-minute drive out. But when you arrive in Lorton, you take your bags, whatever you'll need for your overnight, and they load your car on the train. So the next morning when you arrive in Sanford, you get off the train, they pull your car around, and off you go. So it's a great way to avoid the traffic on I-95. That's actually Auto Train's kind of advertising campaign is skip I-95 and all the traffic. The first time we took it, it was on a holiday weekend around Thanksgiving, I believe. And we do not regret at all taking it. It can be pricey. And the best time to book it is usually about a year out. Wow. So about a year from now. So if you're looking at April 2015, for a family of four, two adults, two children, you're looking at about $2,400 without a AAA discount or anything. And that includes your car fare, but it also includes a 4-bed family bedroom sleeper car. So you actually, instead of like just doing coach class, which you can easily do as well, and that is considerably cheaper. But whenever you do, we have a client family, when they go down in July this year, this will be their second time, taking the auto train round trip, and they absolutely love it because their vacation starts as soon as they pull in to the train terminal. And then off they go the next morning. So we did a roomette, which is very cozy. I must say, we took a little bit too much on board. Well, let me rephrase that. I took a little bit too much on board the train, so it cramped us up just a little further than what was necessary. But you have a cabin hostess who, like, while you're out to dinner, and your dinner fare or your dinner and breakfast is actually included in your fare. So whenever you go to dinner, your room steward comes by and like turns your bed down and makes your room up and all that kind of stuff. So it really kind of is that kind of first class experience on a train. So, lots of fun. And they have one car where they show movies and things like that. So very family friendly. And for families who do not want to fly or really want to have a car while they're down there, it's a fantastic option. So You can also take regular Amtrak from many destinations into Orlando. You can take it into Orlando. You can also take it into Kissimmee and then pick up transportation from there. So lots of different options on trains. And Lisa didn't think we were going to talk about trains this evening.
Well, so it sounds like, how is it time-wise? It sounds like it's definitely more about the experience than
it's super expensive too.
It is pricey.
It's more expensive than flying.
Yes. Yep. But also, if you consider flying and renting a car, you begin to reach that kind of break-even point if you are within just a few hours of the DC area. And that really is kind of a major factor. But a lot of Disney's business comes from the Mid-Atlantic states, so it's very, very close experience. You board the train. The train departs Lorton around 4 p.m. And you arrive into Sanford the next morning around 9:30. And then the opposite for your return trip, you leave Sanford about 4, and you arrive back into Lorton at about 9:30. So, and there's only one stop on the entire trip, and that's, I believe it's in Florence, South Carolina. And that's only for like crew changeover. There are no
passenger.
Yeah. Yep. No passengers. You have to have a vehicle on the train to buy a ticket. So of course per family and things of that nature, but that's definitely consideration. We enjoyed the trip. I mean, it really turned what could have been a very long trip with a lot of holiday traffic into a very pleasant experience.
But so, $2,400.
We paid a lot less. On that particular trip, we only took it one way because there were two of our friends were flying down to join us. Then we did a cruise, so there were four adults to make the drive back. So yeah. and that it made a lot of sense for us on that particular trip. But it's very pricey. But for a lot of people, it's just the alternative. I was talking to a client just about 2 weeks ago. And their adult daughter who was going is just absolutely terrified of flying. So they're like, yeah, that sounds like a great option. So
you know what? That is a great option for someone afraid of flying. And I'm trying to see the upside to this. And I think about some of the times that we drive, you know, down to Miami or something. And how long is that, Steve? Is that 12?
Yeah, it's about 12.
It doesn't cost you that much money.
Right, but it's like 12 hours. And you think, okay, we can do 12 hours. And so you drive down there and you get on your cruise. And then you get off the cruise probably on a Sunday. And you know that you have to drive back. And you're so tired. That would be a perfect opportunity to take an auto train, like you're saying. Drive down, but then auto train back. So you don't have to worry about it.
Kind of continue that vacation experience.
Well, in a way, yes. But
yeah, because on the way back, you feel like you're rushed, and like Lisa's saying, and you're like, okay, we're going to get back, and we're going to crank out 12 hours. And especially like you're saying, Chris, with holiday traffic I've been in, you know, Thanksgiving or...
It's just frustrating.
One of these weeks where it's really... It's raining or there's tons of traffic or construction. But it's definitely if you have the money, because it's not... They're not comparable in price.
Mm-mm.
Driving versus taking the train.
But
you get
imagine,
all the free time.
Yeah, you get the free time, you get the family time, you get the extra space because, you know, comparing what you're saying versus an airplane and...
You don't get the singing in the car, though.
but you get family movie night. I mean, come on.
Well, there's that, but I mean, gosh, who's going to sing Frozen songs the whole way down?
Well, do they come
if you answer my ticket, I'll be glad to do it for you.
Okay.
Do they roll the trolley with like chocolate frogs and every flavor beans or something while you're on the train?
No, unfortunately.
We've been watching Harry Potter?
It is not Hogwarts bound.
Okay. Yeah, we've been.
We've been watching it.
Amber's
we've
been intrigued.
Catching up on our Harry.
Amber got the set of Harry Potter for her birthday, and we've been watching them and. They're good. They're good movies, but oh, are they long?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they're good movies, though. I agree.
We're moving on to. I think we did year 6. I think yes. Yeah, so we only have a couple more years to go. 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a Harry Potter marathon.
Real quick, can we just jump back to flights? Because I had a couple comments on flights.
We can jump anywhere you want.
Just real quick.
You say jump and we say how high.
Awesome. See, that's what I love about you guys. So just real quick, I do want to just kind of say one of the questions that I'm asked all the time about flights is there really a best day to book flights?
Yes. The cheapest
there, day. Yes, there is. The best days to look at flights are Tuesday mornings after 10 a.m. to Wednesdays. You will always find your best pricing. I've also recently read, and I haven't been able to prove this yet or confirm it, I should say, that 63 days prior to your departure date is the absolute cheapest day to buy your flights.
What?
Yep.
There is some truth to that. And as a chronic flight price watcher, I can vouch for that. But the biggest thing that you have to worry about at that point is the reason why they're cheapest at 63 days out is because they're beginning to try to fill the plane with promotional pricing on tickets for a lot of people from very popular hubs. A lot of planes are nearing being sold out. So especially if you're traveling with a family, it would be very difficult to initially book all of your seats together without kind of holding court at the ticket counter to get them relocated.
The best thing to do is to continuously watch what seats are available.
Yes.
And base it on that. Determine when it's time to book based on that. The other thing you can do, which is something I do all the time, is I book flights one way. If I'm booking flights for my family, if I find a good fare one way, I'll book it and then I'll wait and I'll get the good fare the other way.
And that's one of the biggest
things. I save a ton of money that way. So that was it, just booking one way. I tend to find flights one way that are a better price than the other way.
You always mention that you're getting a one-way flight, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
I will sometimes book my flight home before I book my flight there. I do it all the time, and I always save.
I have to say that would drive me bonkers. Like in the
meantime. You have to be patient. You really do. You have to check it all the time. And it's a game.
Right.
So I constantly do it, and I do it all the time. I was able to get round trip out of New Jersey for $350 to California by doing it that way for my whole family, which is good over the summer.
Per person?
Yeah. From my area, that's a really good price. They're normally like $500.
Yeah, I cannot pass up the opportunity to talk about our California trip in 2011. Somehow, I do not know how this happened, but we booked Southwest out of Pittsburgh International into Santa Ana for $89 each way. So wow. It was $178 round trip on Southwest with no baggage fee. We stopped in Chicago we stopped at Midway and then on to California. So $178 round trip. We've never figured out if that was actually an accident or not.
It happens.
But I constantly kind of keep an eye on those trips because you never know when you're going to find something like that again. It was
a good deal.
Too good of, yeah. Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Yeah, and that's always a good option because a lot of people haven't been to Disneyland and they don't think about it.
Yep. I love Disneyland.
Yep, and now while you're on the West Coast, you might as well go to Alani. I mean, come on, it's just a short hop over the Pacific, right?
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Exactly. See, getting excited about our potential Alani visit next year.
Wow, we're talking planes, trains, automobiles, hopping, skipping, jumping. We're going to get there one way or another.
And also all modes of transportation.
Yes.
Very exciting.
You know what? When it comes to Disney, you do what you got to do to get yourself there.
That's right.
And I'm all about the journey. So the journey makes the destination all that much more exciting. So
you know, very. I can't get on board with that. Just no, me get either. Me there.
Just get me there. I want to be.
Oh,
there.
See, it, see, there's there's nothing like planning to leave on a Wednesday morning for a Disney trip, but getting home from work at like 4 p.m. and saying, you know, we should just leave tonight, and we did. We left that night. We drove all the way through. It was amazing. We packed an extra Disney day into that trip without taking an additional vacation day. So, you know, it was lots of fun.
Okay, remind me not to travel with you, Chris.
I'm with you, Lee.
Wow.
You're on your own, Sharpie.
You know, I've been spoiled, though, because when Steve and I travel without the girls, we fly. We can get decent rates out of Atlanta. And when we're with the girls and we're traveling, he drives pretty much the whole thing. I sit in the back. We watch movies. We sing songs. A lot of Frozen. And
see, there's the Let It Go. There you go.
Oh, he's caught us on video. It's bad.
Yeah, but 7 hours is not too bad. It's doable. You get a stop. And then if we leave early in the morning, sometimes you can leave early. If you have kids, you can put them in the back. They're asleep. And then by the time they wake up, half of the trip is over. And then we hit Disney about 12 noon or 1 o'clock just in time for lunch. Have lunch, check in, and we're ready to go. So it works out nice.
I love that, you know, if you do stop along the way, you stop at... You get off at an exit, you find a red box, get a movie. You know, when you hit Orlando, you drop it off. It just, I love Redbox.
See, that's a great story. Yeah, I never, because we don't have kids, so that's.
Oh, I never even realized you could do that.
Oh, you don't have to bring it back to the same one. I can rent it in Atlanta, return it in Orlando.
Sweet.
Oh, love Redbox. And it's like $1.20.
Yeah. And you can, I think we have an app, or you can pretty much find them at almost any drugstore, and you just...
Yeah, they do have an app where you can see where there's a red box, and you can also see what that red box has, and you can reserve the movie so no one else can get it before you get there.
Nice.
All on your phone.
So you've got this whole backseat entertainment thing down.
Oh,
this
it is down.
This is your thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what to pack, where it goes, snacks, drinks, movies, yeah. Stuffed animals, blankets, pillows. We travel in style with our chauffeur, Stefan.
Mm-hmm. And we just have one of those little DVD players that you get at Walmart that hangs on the back of the seat.
Yeah.
They're pretty cheap nowadays. They're like $100 or
something.
That's if we take
the SUV. If we take the truckster.
Truckster.
The truckster. It's like first class. We have it built into the truckster.
Yep.
And it has the infrared
headphones. Yeah, the 1978 model has the built-in, but the 2000-something doesn't. We have to add them.
Oh, the Truckster was so ahead of its time.
Yeah. The Truckster has...
I don't know why that...
Very proud.
Oh, it would. And doesn't the Truckster have Bluetooth as well?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, see, you're just riding in style. See, that now, see, if everyone had a Truckster, no one would fly. No one would fly. Airlines would go out of business.
Listen, I've ridden in the Truckster. I'd fly.
She's walking next time.
I tried.
Next time we go to Ale House, she's walking.
The first time I rode in the Truckster, I felt like I was on a cruise ship. It just kind of has that floaty,
really,
kind of rocking back and forth.
Truckster, you felt like you were in a cruise ship? I'm not buying it.
yeah, Sharpie, not buying it.
It rides like a Cadillac. It just kind of
that's how
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Riding in style. Riding in style. All of these strategies.
Wow.
So whip around with one last kind of detail.
Okay.
About each mode of transportation that you find attractive, interesting, or new.
You know, the whole auto train thing, that's kind of new to me. I guess I knew about it, but it doesn't occur to me when I think of how to get to Orlando. You know, there are times that I would love to take the girls up to Chicago, and I don't want to drive to Chicago, and it's too expensive to fly, but that's not going to help me in my cost department. But I'm going to look into auto train. I think that'd be fun. You know, you get to play games. The time is what really sounds cool to me.
Well, the time and the novelty of being able to have the kids in a sleeper car and actually ride a train. It's hard to do in the States.
It is. Yes, Mr. Paris. You're... Listen to him, Mr. International Traveler.
It's 4:07 a.m. in Paris, France right now.
Yes, and you are so dedicated that you decided to come onto the show.
I figured I would dial in. No, I haven't done much yet. I went and got my phone, so I have my cell phone, and I went to a Greek restaurant, and I had my extra pita, where they take the meat and the French fries, and they wrap it all up in the pita.
Did we lose Steve?
Yeah, so I had a pita at in the kind of Greek area over by Notre Dame for my first meal. So not very healthy, so I got to eat better.
In Paris, geez. Who gets Greek food in Paris?
Apparently, well, I'm here for a long time, so we eat a lot. We eat a lot of different stuff. We eat pretty much every nationality.
He's constantly snapping photos of his food and sending it to me, and all you hear, you know, here, so to speak, all he writes on there is mmm, or cheesy, or yum.
I would be like, I'm getting on a plane and coming there.
Yeah.
So are you making the annual pilgrimage to Disneyland Paris, Steve?
I am. I have to. I was in the airport and I saw the Magical Express, except you have to pay for it there. And they had the desk. It was very tempting. And all the cute little Disney buses are all done up. And the little desk is super cute. But I'm going to head out on the RER. Hopefully, probably next week, hopefully. I got to get an annual pass. The annual pass here is pretty affordable. And you get extra magic hours. You get 2 extra hours from 8 to 10 a.m. pretty much every day into the Magic Kingdom. So I'll be doing that, and I'll put up some photos and videos and Facebook and everything.
How much is
And Ratatouille is not open, doesn't open until a month after I leave. So
figures, right?
Oh, that stinks.
I know. It opens, I think, July 10th.
You'll just have to fly back.
I know.
Thanks,
so
Lauren.
Next year, we'll have to do Ratatouille.
I was going to say, it's not like you won't be back next year, Steve.
Yeah. So we'll take some pictures.
Knock on wood.
So how about you, Lauren? What's your favorite new thing that you learned about different modes of transportation to Walt Disney World?
Did we enlighten you with anything?
I mean, no, I knew about the auto train and everything. I mean, my preference is still Make It Easy, fly into
Truckster.
Orlando. Yeah, the Truckster. That's it. It's the Truckster.
I think
everybody should go to Disney in the Truckster as the new mode of transportation.
We could start a new business. We could do
it's
that.
It's pretty... It definitely, when you're driving 7 hours in the Truckster on the way down, it's definitely a unique experience. It's everybody waves and honks and takes photos.
You know, it's bad because
I've been in the parking lot with you guys. Everybody does that in the parking lot too.
Yeah, it's bad because
you actually get prime parking.
You're constantly on. People are always looking at you, so I can't yell at Steve or, you know, yell at the kids or stick my foot up on the chair, on the seat in front of me. You know, you have to behave yourself. People are always looking at you. But that's okay. You know, if they see me, well, they'll just keep it to themselves.
Hmm.
I'm in the back seat. It's not as comfortable as you think. You know, car seat, and then Amber's in the middle, and then I'm over on the side. And anyway, it's a little tight back there.
It is. It is surprisingly not as large as you would think.
You're nice. You sit in the back with your kids?
Yeah, I sit in the back.
You're a nice mommy.
It's either that or ride up with Steve. What would you want?
Oh, well, it's so roomy up front, though.
There's a lot of room up front.
I would rather sit up front. I could probably...
If we drive anywhere, the girls are on their own in the trunk.
You know, I'm sorry, but all I'm picturing is the steering wheel scene. You know, I'm picturing, you know, it's so big I could take a nap and put my head on Steve's lap, but
yeah, there's that.
Then there's that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's
one
mode of
driving up next to you in a red convertible.
Sharpie, what'd you say?
I said there's one mode of transportation that no one mentioned, and that's arriving into the Orlando area by bus.
Ugh.
How exciting does that sound?
Yeah, that's right up there with scooter and rollerblades.
There are a couple
areas. I've never been asked about that.
We haven't either. There are a couple areas in the Northeast where they actually offer an auto bus service, kind of like the auto train, where they take your car down on an auto carrier, like semi, like the would deliver vehicles to an auto dealership, and then you take the bus down. And I do not see the attraction to that. No. It's like going from bad to worse.
Is.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't work for me.
Oh, no, thank you.
I think we're okay not mentioning that mode of transportation.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No one mentioned the bus. I mean, come on.
We're going to be down there for the Disney's Masters car show with the Truckster, and it's June, I think it's the 14th, 15th.
Something like that. Like right, 13, 14, 14, 15.
Yeah, it's probably like the 14th. It's that Saturday, Sunday, probably 14, 15, somewhere around there in June. And we'll be at Downtown Disney for those 2 days with the Truckster. So you can come over and see me. It's probably just me.
Yeah. Because
I think Lisa's stuck at home. So I'll drive down.
Sorry.
I'll hang out at Downtown Disney for 2 days. Is she coming up?
Yeah.
And then I'll drive back. So come down, take pictures with yourself at the Truckster, Downtown Disney.
That would be fun.
You know what, though? I was kind of impressed because I guess lots and lots of people apply because you have to be accepted. They only take 100 people, and they took the Truckster.
They did.
It's a classic.
Oh, it is indeed. Oh, my goodness. Among the select 100 cars.
It is. That's kind of awesome.
That is very awesome.
They have limited space.
Taking on a life of its own.
They have limited space with the construction over at Downtown Disney. So
the
Truckster made it in through the application process. We found out. So we are registered and ready to go. And then they have all kinds of car events. They have all the cars from the Cars movies and Chip Foos, who's a big. I guess he has a couple different TV shows. I haven't watched him in a while. On whatever the reality shows are, and plus he does all these custom cars. He's there, and they probably have stuff going on at Richard Petty. We haven't gotten the full agenda of everything going on, but it sounds like it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And that's over Father's Day weekend, isn't it?
I don't know.
I didn't look that far.
Could be.
Yeah, Father's Day is the 15th.
Okay, let's wrap up the show. I would like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast, as usual. And if you like our shows, please go to iTunes or go to mousechat.net. You can download them at either place. And if you've got questions or comments for us, we should do another listener question show. But if you've got questions or comments for us, please write to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you join us again next time on Mouse Chat.